Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast of Valley Grove Baptist Church. We are thankful you stopped by to hear from God's Word, to grow closer to Him, and to be inspired to reach your area of influence. For those of us that are staying in this morning, we are going to look at a variety of verses today. So there's not one passage necessarily that we're going to hang out. But if you had to find one, and if you just want to turn to one passage in your Bible, I would instruct you to find Micah chapter 6, as we'll kind of hang out there for just maybe a few minutes longer than some of the others. So Micah 6, if you want to find that, all of these verses that I'm going to read today are in your handout, which was in your bulletin, or they'll be on the screen behind us. Or if you're watching online or you want to find it after church, you can. If you've downloaded our church app, which I hope you have, because all of our information flows through the church app, if you want to go download the handout there, it's in color. So there are some color. If you like color, you can go download it and print it at home. I know some people do that. All right, so let's get started. So we're kind of transitioning today from the kingdom and government to our next topic, which is the kingdom and justice. Over the past 16 months plus, there's probably two words that have been on the hearts and minds of most of us in the country. The first is corona or COVID, and the next word would be justice. Right? Some of it is perceived injustice. Some of us, it's the misuse of justice. Others, it's justice for certain people. Other people, it's justice for those on the opposite side of the group who's claiming for justice for this person and then that person. And so justice has been a huge word that has been used a lot. Here's kind of what I've known in just my perusal of YouTube and Facebook and in conversation with people here at church and people in the community and listening to TV and Twitter and all of that is, in all of this conversation about justice, several things have, I think, popularized, or maybe popularized is probably not the right word, that have come out practically. Maybe that's a better way to say it. And that is that all of us want justice. There are very few people in society that say, I would really like for society to be unjust. Really. That is like the scantest minority of population. But what I've realized is we all define justice very differently. If I were to ask the group in here what is justice, I dare say that each and every one of us would have a slightly different definition of what justice is. And not only do we define justice differently, we see how justice plays out differently. We see a high-profile case and say, we want justice. But then when you ask somebody, okay, what does that look like in this case? Every person has a different view of what justice looks like or how it's applied or what comes out of justice. And so very quickly we learn, or very quickly it's easy to see that, one, if we all have a different view of justice, it's going to be hard for anybody to have justice, right? Because if you and I can't even agree on a definition of what justice is, not just in the broader context of culture, but if we can't even agree on it inside the church, then we're in trouble. Because we'll never know what justice actually looks like in society, or even in the church or in the broader culture. And so what I want to do is the next few weeks, the next several weeks, what I want to do is look at justice in detail. And so we're going to do that. So let me back up and say, in your outline it says, here's our goal. Our goal, by the time we're all the way at the end of this series, our goal is to have a biblical view of justice. Now listen to me. Might I remind you of the little Pentagon thing that was in your outline several weeks ago when we talked about the kingdom and worldview? And we said that there are several lenses through which you can view life, right? You can view life through reason and logic. You can view life through experience. You can view life through tradition, and even today, you can view life through a social cultural lens, meaning whatever culture says is right, that's what I'm going to go with. Or you can view life through the Bible. And we saw in that lesson, and we've tried to use that idea as we've looked through government, and we'll do it as we look through justice, is that as Christ followers, if we are naming the name of Christ, and we say, yes, I am a Christ follower, we have no other option but to primarily look at life through the lens of the Bible. Irregardless of what talking heads say on Twitter and on Fox News and on CNN and on NBC, and no matter what LeBron James says, we have to view life through the lens of the Bible. And listen to me, that is going to take us into some uncomfortable places in the next few weeks. It's going to take us through some challenging places in the next few weeks. Because what we're going to do, the prospectus, if you want to say this in educational, how we're going to come to a biblical view of justice is, today we're going to look at how justice is used in the Bible. Next week we're going to look at what is justice according to the Bible. And then in two more weeks, Pastor Jacob's going to talk about justice in a real life situation in the Bible, a Bible story. Then we're going to come back and we're going to look at social justice. Where does social justice, what's the foundation of social justice? Then we're going to ask the question, it kind of is social justice biblical justice? And then we're going to round out somewhere in the next, and however many weeks that is, by asking, how do we as Christians do justice in 2021 and beyond? Right? So, today, we're going to tackle this subject through the lens of the Bible by looking at how is justice used in the Bible. If you were to do a quick Bible search, you could do it on your phone, depending on what translation you use, English translation, you will find that the word justice is used roughly 130 times in your Bible. The word injustice is used around 26 times in your Bible. All of those 150 plus usages of the word justice occur across 26 books in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Now, the vast majority is in the Old Testament. There's a few in the New Testament. But when you put all those together, you have a robust, a healthy set of verses which you can delineate. You can learn something about what the Bible says or how the Bible uses justice. And so today we're going to look at the three major ways that the Bible uses the word justice. There's three spheres that the word justice is used in them, and all of them interconnect. And then after we do that, we'll draw some applications for today, and then we'll kind of close out our time. Okay, so the three ways that the Bible uses justice. First, and primarily, the Bible says, or the Bible uses justice in the context of describing God's person and His work, meaning His character and what He does. Some of you may understand this in the phrasing of God's attributes and God's actions, right? So let's read a few verses. Clouds, and this is Psalm 97:2, clouds and thick darkness are all around Him. Listen to the next phrase. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of His throne. Now, the psalmist could have said anything in the world he wanted to. And he said the foundational elements of God's rule and reign, God's person and work, are righteousness and justice. Not grace and mercy, not love and kindness, but righteousness and justice. Can I give you a quick little in doing right and making sure right is done? In doing right Himself and making sure right is done. Let's read a couple more. Isaiah 30:18. Therefore the Lord waits to be gracious to you, and therefore He exalts Himself to show mercy to you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are those who wait for Him. So God's actions and His attributes are justice. Now let's look at a few that show that about God's actions being just. Okay, I got a couple verses. Psalm 103:6. For the, listen to this verse, the Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. That's a powerful verse. The question is, who are the oppressed? Well, we'll talk about that later, right? The Lord works righteousness and justice for this reason. Isaiah 61:8. For the Lord loves justice. He says, I hate robbery and wrong. I will faithfully give them their recompense, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Meaning, the Lord will make an everlasting covenant with those who do justice, and He opposes those who do robbery and wrong or injustice. So the Lord's character, who He is justice. Listen to me. Let me put it to you in these terms. The Lord is just as much just as He is grace, love, light, righteousness, holiness, so forth and so on. And He does justice equally in measure as He shows grace, mercy, love, everlasting kindness. So we cannot take justice and put it on a pedestal above all the other attributes of God, nor can we take it and say, oh, it's below all of these. What that means is we've got to hold justice on the same plane as we hold grace and love and mercy and righteousness and holiness. Okay? Because it is a part, it is who God is, and it is what He does. This will be crucial. I need you to remember this. This will be crucial when we get to the application part. Okay? Justice, it is a part of who God is and what He does. So the first thing, justice. How is justice used in the Bible? It is to describe God's work and His character. Now the second thing, second way in which the Bible uses justice is to define those who follow God. So let's read a few verses about that. And we're going to camp out in Micah 6 just for a minute. So let's read Isaiah 1:17. Here's what Isaiah says or is saying, the prophet is saying to God's people. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Correct oppression. Bring justice to the fatherless. Plead the widow's cause. What is he saying? What is the prophet saying to Israel? Israel, part of your role as God's people is to do justice. By extension, church, what is your role? Do justice. Just as much as you do good. Just as much as you plead the widow's cause and bring justice to the fatherless. Now, in what might be the penultimate example of how Christ followers and God followers are supposed to do justice, Micah 6. Now in Micah 6, it's kind of toward the end of Micah. Micah 6, 6 through 8 is kind of the whole paragraph. And so I kind of want to read the entire paragraph because it sets up Micah 6, 8, which is on the screen behind you, okay? In Micah 6, 6, here's what Micah asks. And Micah is a prophet to God's people. You got to keep that in mind, okay? So here's what he is saying to his people in an effort to bring them back into God's, into relationship with the Lord. Here's what Micah 6, 6 says. What shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? So let me put it in modern day terms. What do I need to do, God, to come into your presence? Now, let's stop just for a second. And remember, A, Micah could answer that question with anything he wants. The way he answered is probably not the way you and I would answer it, right? Because if you ask somebody on our finance team, they might say, hey, you might need to bring some offering with you when you come, right? Just kidding. If you're involved in children's ministry, you might be, hey, I need some help. You need to help with the kids. If you ask Pastor Jacob, he might be, hey, you need to show up on July 5th through the 7th. I need help, right? So depending on who you ask, you might get a different answer of, hey, how? What do I need to do to come before the Lord? In other words, how can I offer, what do I offer to God? Listen to what Micah says in the rest of verse 6 in chapter 7. Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Meaning, should I bring a sacrifice? Should I do something extravagant for the Lord? Right? How do I come before the Lord? Should I come before him? Do I need to bring an extravagant gift to God? Verse 7. Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams and 10,000 rivers of oil? Meaning, let me put it, should I sell everything I possibly have and give it all to the Lord? Because that's what that would amount to. Shall I give my firstborn of my transgression, the fruit of my body, for the sin of my soul? I mean, do you understand? He's like, do I need to give everything I possibly have materially that is in my possession? Should I bring an extravagant look? Should I give up everything? And here's what Micah's answer is, and it's Micah 6:8. He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? Listen to his answer. What does the Lord require of you? To do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. In other words, the answer to the question of how do I come into the Lord's presence, with what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the Most High? Here's the answer. Do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. In other words, let me put it to you this way. As one Bible teacher once said, he said, if you were to take all of the 600 commandments in the Old Testament and you were to boil all of them down into three, it would be these three. In essence, what Micah is doing is he's taking the entire Old Testament and summarizing it in three easy-to-remember statements. What does God require of you? Do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly, or love kindness, and walk humbly with your God. In other words, you can give an extravagant gift. You can sell your house and your car, and you can give all of your money to the Lord. But if you're not doing justice, and you're not loving kindness, and you're not walking humbly with the Lord, you have missed the entire point. You can come with offerings and sacrifice, and you can make the budget line go up, and you can give, and so everybody will give you a round of applause, and we'll give you a little plaque that says you gave the most. We don't do that, but you know what I'm saying, right? But if you miss these three things, Micah is saying, you've missed the boat. You've missed it entirely, right? And so the Bible says that God is defined by justice in both His character and His action, and that His people should be defined by justice in their character and their action. And the third thing we see from how justice is used in the Bible is that justice is often perverted and messed up. The Bible is replete with stories from the old to the new about how justice is not done. And in place of justice, injustice is done. In fact, the most magnificent story of injustice occurs in the Gospels, right? Where Jesus, who is God's Son, perfect, who's never done anything wrong, is unjustly crucified on a cruel, Roman, rugged cross so that you and I might have forgiveness of our sins. Right? Now that's just one story. The Bible's replete with story after story of injustice. And in fact, God directly speaks to people doing injustice when He says things like this. You shall not pervert justice. You shall not show partiality. Deuteronomy 16:19. You shall not pervert justice. You shall not show partiality. And you shall not accept a bribe. For a bribe blinds the eyes of the wise and subverts the cause of righteousness. And the Bible says that the people who experience the most injustice in society, usually the Bible says, are in four groups. One author called them the quartet of the vulnerable, and that is orphans, widows, immigrants, and the poor. Right? In the Bible, God speaks directly to people who, not favorably, to people who commit injustice to those who are poor, immigrants, widows, and orphans. Right? And so the Bible says, one, God's character. Let's recap really quickly. We're going to move to our application. We'll be done today, okay? Look, here we go. The Bible says that, one, God is just and God does justice, period, to the same degree and equal parts as He does love, grace, mercy, and righteousness. His people should be defined just as much by justice as He is. They should be just and do justice. And God does not speak favorably of those who do injustice in the world. Okay? So that's the three broad categories of how the Bible uses justice. Now, I know what you're saying. Well, Pastor, we haven't defined what is justice. Like, what is the Bible's definition of justice? You've just told us how it's used. I know I have. That's why you got to come back next week, because we're going to talk about what is justice from a biblical definition. And listen to me, that biblical definition is going to serve us in the weeks ahead. Okay? So come back next week, because we're going to talk about what is justice. But I want to leave you with two ideas today that you can walk away with, okay? Really quickly. All right, here's number one. Listen to me. This is going to be crucial for in a couple weeks. All right? This is going to be crucial for down the road. Number one, what can we learn for today? Learn from today's talk. Here it is. Whenever, listen carefully, whenever you bring justice into a conversation, you have immediately brought God into the conversation. Teenagers, young adults, listen to me. Whenever you hear the word justice, you've just brought God into the conversation. If you're at school and you say, that teacher's unjust, listen to me, you've just said, God is against that person. Hey, listen to me. Whenever some talking head on TV says that's unjust, or they're doing injustice, or that's unjust, they have just said God is against that person, group, or entity. Whenever they say this is justice, and then they spell it out, they're saying God is for that person in that way. So listen to me. Listen. We better be very careful what we say is unjust and what we say is just and what we claim is injustice and who we point the finger at or what we point the finger at. Because whenever we bring justice into the conversation, whenever LeBron James tweets a tweet and uses the word justice and points the finger at somebody, he is saying, whether he realizes it or not, that God is against that person. And might I remind you that whenever it is specifically referencing orphans, widows, immigrants, and the poor, listen to what God says in Deuteronomy 27:19. Cursed. Do you hear the first word? Listen to me. Cursed be anyone who perverts justice due to the sojourner, the fatherless, and the widow. And all the people shall say, amen. Amen. Right? So before we get on our moral high horse, and before we start pointing the finger and saying, that's unjust, that's injustice, that's not just, this is justice over here, we better be ready for God to enter the conversation. because God is justice and God does justice. And listen to me, whenever we claim something is of God that is not of God, that's a very dangerous place to be. And that whenever we claim that something isn't of God and it is, that's a dangerous place to be. Now, I'm not trying to scare you off from using the word or talking about justice or injustice. The Bible uses it 156 times over 26 books. We should clearly talk about justice and injustice. I'm just saying, be careful who you point the finger at, and be careful what you say is unjust or just, because whenever you do, you're bringing God into the conversation. Period. End of the story. Secondly, just as much as God called people in the Old Testament, and just as much the writers of the New Testament call early Christians to justice, guess what? God is calling you and I as His followers to do justice today. You say, well, what is that? Keep coming. We're going to talk about it. But I just want you to know that it is your role. It is part of who you are as a follower of Jesus. It is part of what God has called you to do justice. It's part of what God's called you to do. It's part of what God's called me to do. It's part of what God has called the church, big C, to do, is to be about justice. Now, we may not like that. That may kind of give us an uneasy, queasy stomach feeling. That's fine. We're going to be challenged. But by the end of the time, our time together, down the road a few weeks, we're going to be able to say, this is what justice is. This is how God uses justice. This is what justice is. This is what it looks like for us to be about justice in the future. All right? But today, God is justice. He does justice. God calls His people, that's me and you, to do justice today. To be just, to do justice. And God talks very unfavorably against people who do injustice, right? So, be careful how you use it. But remember, you're called to do it, okay? All right, we're done for the day. I'm going to ask Pastor Jacob to kind of close out our service today. Fathers, I'll have the box of lights in the back. So you can grab one on your way out. Thank you so much for being here. We would love to see you back next week as we talk about what is justice from a biblical perspective. All right, we love y'all. Pastor Jacob, pray for us.
Thanks for listening. For more information about Valley Grove, visit our Facebook page or website, valleygrovechurch.org.